Morning. Welcome to our fifth Sunday prayer, our prayer emphasis Sunday. I'm going to go ahead and continue and follow Daryl's lead with studies on prayer. And just by way of a quick review, we know that Daryl has shown us that prayer is appropriate. It's right. It's good. It's proper. He taught us that prayer is a gift given to believers, and then he did a two-part study on the many benefits of prayer. And today, again, I will focus for our time on conditions to answered prayer. If you would, please bow with me as I open us up in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the opportunity to gather together in fellowship and to worship you today. Allow us to approach you with boldness, knowing that you, Father God, are attentive to our prayers as they align with your will. Give us a heart to pray effectively, seeking to understand your will through Scripture and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so out the gate, if you could, turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 21. We're going to start out looking at verse 22, but we're going to do kind of a high-level, 30,000-foot overview on conditions to answered prayer. And looking at Matthew 21 and 22, it reads, "And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." And we know that these words were words that Jesus spoke to his disciples. Statement triggered by the disciples' amazement with the withered fig tree. But it anchors to a broader lesson about the relationship between faith and answered prayer. You see, the fig tree shows and serves as a teachable moment, with Jesus using imagery to convey that believers with genuine faith can accomplish extraordinary things through God's power and through faith that forms the foundation of answered prayer. Let's go up one verse to verse 21. "And Jesus answered and said to them, Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, Be taken up and cast into the sea, it will happen." The promise isn't about unlimited wish granting or a magic Aladdin's lamp. Faith cannot be exercised in ways contrary to God's will. Rather, it's God's power responding to faith, and true faith always aligns with God's will. This verse shows that we have one condition, or at least the beginning of a condition to answered prayer, and that's faith. This morning we're going to examine through the scriptures how God's word demonstrates that prayer has additional conditions. So to begin, I'm going to start with a familiar verse that Pastor Brian has just taken us through, looking at 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. And it reads, "This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." So within the context of that verse, we see that a condition to answered prayer is to pray according to God's will. It's an important condition. Our prayers are made within the will of God. And in Pastor Brian's study, he went into great detail about the sins that lead to death and the sins that do not lead to death. And within the confines of that presentation, he spoke at length about the importance of God's will. But even a better example is Jesus himself, as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, as Luke 22:42 shows, "Not my will, but yours be done." And we understand this story. And we understand that we can pray all we want. We can pray with all measure of sincerity and with all measure of faith. But if we pray not according to God's will, then we pray amiss. It's of little value when we don't align ourselves with God's will. Moving on, we're going to look at another condition to answered prayer in Matthew 6:9. This is very familiar, and we probably don't even need to turn there to understand that here Jesus is answering the question to his disciples, Lord, teach us how to pray as John the Baptist also taught his disciples. And here in 6:9, Jesus says, pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now we can go on and you can join in with me, but we should all know this. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We understand that praying in God's will and praying to a heavenly Father are important factors. Praying in God's will is almost like a cheat code. If we get that right, walking in faith, everything else that I'm going to talk about this morning is just going to fall in line with that. So understanding that principle is going to go a long way for us. But this condition, as we said, may seem obvious, but it's important. Because we know we don't pray to false gods. We don't pray to ourselves. We don't pray to angels, and we certainly don't pray to Allah. We pray to Yahweh, the God of the Bible, who revealed himself in Jesus Christ and whose spirit indwells believers today. Making our petitions to the Father acknowledges that we are his children. And Jesus, his opening line, teaches us to approach prayer as cherished children before a majestic king, aligning our will with his supremacy. Remembering we belong to a family, we rest in a Father who reigns, and we make his honor the burning desire of every prayer we offer. So pray according to God's will and pray to a heavenly Father. Let's move on and look at John chapter 16, verses 23 and 24. And it reads, in that day you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full. So in context and the understanding of this, we know Jesus is letting them know, hey, I'm going to go, but another one's going to come, and that Holy Spirit is going to be your helper. But we see in those words, truly, truly, or amen and amen, it highlights significant teachings of Jesus and underscores his authority and trustworthiness of his words. We can take it to the bank. And so we see that a condition to answered prayer is praying in the authority of Jesus Christ. Praying in Jesus' name signifies praying with his authority and in alignment with his will. It sounds repetitive, but you keep seeing his will coming up over and over again because that's how it's supposed to be done. It reflects a relationship with God that is mediated by Christ. Christ, who is the only way to the Father. And then we see that specifically addressed in 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Praying in Jesus' name, it's not a formula, but a declaration of faith in his authority and relationship with the Father. So we understand that we call this the Lord's Prayer, but really it's the disciples' prayer. Christ taught them. We don't see Christ going through and making this prayer, but we see him teaching his disciples that this is the prayer you are to pray. And oftentimes we have discussions with one another, like, oh, I'm having a hard time praying. I don't know what to pray for. But this, again, is the default cheat code to getting us in alignment with God's will. If in doubt, fall back on this prayer. Because within this prayer, it's going to start out, our Father. So it's telling us immediately we're to acknowledge God. Your will. Your daily provisions. Recognizing that we need to forgive our sins before we can look for forgiveness from those we've sinned against, right? So from this prayer, you can just go through and be like, oh, this resonates and it reminds me now of this thing that I should really be praying about. So we should focus on that. But we recognize that a condition to prayer is in the authority of Jesus Christ. So again, going back, a lot of these verses that I'm using today seem to be verses that have been up in either the ladies' Bible study and they become very intimate, or ones we've gone over within messages we've heard lately. But I'm going to turn to James chapter 1 and verses 5 through 8. But here I'm going to focus on verse 6, but we're going to read 5 through 8 just for context. And it reads, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach. It will be given to him. But he must ask in faith." Again, that's verse 6. "He must ask in faith, without doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." The part that states, "But he must ask in faith," emphasizes the necessity of faith when approaching God in prayer. Faith is described as trust and confidence in God and his promises. And Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is then the bedrock of our relationship with God. Without it, our prayers and our spiritual life lack stability and direction. When we pray, we must do so with unwavering faith, trusting that God hears us and will respond according to his will. So we opened with faith, and now we're touching on faith again. And faith, aligning that God-given faith with his will, that should be our desire in our prayers. And that's how we continue to grow in strength and we grow forward in our relationship with Christ. Again, a familiar verse, and I'm going to say it, but you don't even need to turn there. It's Philippians 4:6. Everyone knows this. This is a bedrock scripture that I use in my daily life. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So be anxious for nothing. A condition to answered prayer is to pray from a grateful heart. Thanksgiving is essential, and is an essential component of prayer, and again, trusting in God's goodness and faithfulness. This aligns with 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It instructs believers to give thanks in all circumstances. Thanksgiving shifts the focus of the problem, our problem, to God's provision. God's provision and his past faithfulness, fostering a spirit of contentment and peace. The act of presenting our request to God is an act of faith in and of itself. It involves openly sharing our needs and desires with him, trusting in his wisdom and timing. And we're going to touch more on that here in a minute. But it's the hard part, is trusting in his wisdom and his timing, especially when we think we know it all, and trying to put that reliance and trust and faith in God. But Lord, I want it to happen now. But it's in God's timing, in his wisdom and perfect timing. So we understand that a condition to answered prayer is praying from a grateful heart. Continuing, let's look at James chapter 4 and verse 3. "You ask and you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures." So this one could sting a little bit, because sometimes we may bring prayer without giving it a lot of thought or context. Self-admittedly, I did this last night. I wasn't even sitting. I was standing in front of the TV. "Lord, let him win. Let him win." I don't know that that was in alignment with the will of God, but it was definitely very emotional and full of excitement. I was trying to block shots myself. But here, a condition to answered prayer is to pray unselfishly. The focus here is on the heart's intention behind the prayer. We have to understand that motives matter. Our prayers should align with God's will and purposes. Repetitive. It's in every process of our prayer, not merely on our own selfish desires. We should be regularly examining ourselves and our motives for prayer while asking ourselves, are we seeking God's glory or are we seeking personal gain? We must recognize that prayers brought by selfish motives may not be answered as expected. I've experienced this in my own life. We are to approach God with humility, acknowledging his sovereignty and his wisdom over our lives and his desires. So a condition to answered prayer is to pray unselfishly. Shortest verse in the Bible, I think. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. There could be one shorter. Pray without ceasing. Constant prayer reflects a heart that depends on God for strength, wisdom, and provision. Luke 18:1 tells us of the persistent widow and how she continually brought her prayers before an unbelieving governor, but it was that persistence that matters. And in Luke 18:1 it says, "Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart." And that's what the persistent widow was doing. Some would say she was annoyingly doing so, but sometimes, like I tell my son, annoyingly is good. It's not always bad. Be persistent. It acknowledges our limitations and actually honors and acknowledges God's sovereignty. Jesus himself modeled a life of prayer, highlighting the importance of maintaining spiritual strength and focus. We know Daniel prayed this way 3 times a day despite threats of persecution. So praying without ceasing includes interceding for others, which this church is amazing for. It strengthens the bonds within believers and aligns the biblical call to bear one another's burdens. And I'm thankful for all the prayer warriors we have here. But we understand that a condition to answered prayer is to pray persistently or unceasingly. Looking at Matthew chapter 7, I want to focus on verse 11. Let me turn there just to make sure I get it squared away. I want to start with verse 7. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." And then going down to verse 11, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who seek him?" So we see that a condition for prayer is to pray for good things. God is inherently good and desires to give good gifts to his children. This understanding should shape our approach to prayer and our trust in him. Even flawed human beings know how to give good gifts. How much more then can we trust in the perfect generosity of our Heavenly Father? Believers are encouraged to ask for their needs, trusting in his willingness and ability to provide. The act of asking is crucial in our relationship with God. It demonstrates our dependence on him and our needs. It's the ultimate good gift is spiritual. It's his presence, it's his guidance, and it's the Holy Spirit. So we know that a condition to answered prayer is to pray for good things. In Philippians 4:19, says, "And my God will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." And Matthew 6:33 states that, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." We know that that is the impetus for them to be seeking salvation. But God promises to supply all your needs, not just some of them, but all your needs. We may not know what those needs are. He does, fortunately. And he's not just going to give you some of them, but he's going to give you all of them. But we understand within the Philippians, in Philippi, in the church that he was speaking to there, he was thanking them for sending Epaphroditus, for giving above and beyond. Even when he was in Thessalonica, they're still giving to him, even to the point to where their provisions had been drawn to a very limited supply. And through that gracefulness and thankfulness, he was sharing with them that all of these little things that go on in your daily life, I'm going to provide for those, but I'm going to provide for all your needs, not just some. And this encompasses the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual needs. The provisions come according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus, indicating that it is abundant and rooted with our relationship in Christ. And while God promises to meet our needs, his timing may differ from our expectations. Trusting in his perfect timing is crucial. Understanding that true contentment and provision come from Christ, and it can help believers focus on the eternal rather than the temporal needs. We're to trust in God's provisions. When we prioritize God's kingdom, we can trust that he will provide for our needs. This requires faith and a shift from self-reliance to God-reliance. And lastly, we're going to look at James 5:16, another recently developed scripture in the ladies' Bible study. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Righteousness in the biblical sense refers to being in right standing with God. It's often associated again with faith and obedience. The righteous man is one who lives according to God's will, and the effectiveness of prayer is linked to the character and faith of the one praying. So there's a lot. There's even more that we can go into. The time just doesn't permit. But we want to ask ourselves, how then should we bring forth our prayers? We know we're going to pray according to the will of God. That is first and foremost and primary. We're going to pray to a heavenly Father. We're going to pray to the authority of Jesus Christ and the faith that has been given to us. Our prayers should align with his purposes and not our selfish ambitions. Our prayers should be in his virtues and not on our personal worthiness. Our prayers should be for advancing the kingdom and the pursuit of his glory alone. Godly, effective prayer has conditions, and God wants us to pray. When, then, should we pray? All the time. All the time. Thank you. Please bow with me. Close us in prayer. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to share your word this morning. As we move forward, please allow our prayers to reflect hearts that desire your plans and purpose above our own. Build our faith that we would place our trust in your wisdom and timing, even when your answers differ from our expectations. Please bless our time of corporate prayer as we bring our congregational concerns before you. We ask this by your will and in Jesus' name. Amen.